This is Klaatu. You're listening to GNU World Order, episode 15 of season 11. We're just powering through these episode numbers now. It used to be a new episode number was a big deal, you know, and there would only be 20 per season. But I guess the new thing is going to be next year, especially. I guess I'll just start with episode 1, maybe 0. I don't know. Week one of the year will be episode 1, and then it'll just keep going until episode 52, and then we'll reset with a new season the next year, maybe? I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll come to an agreement together. Point is, this is episode 15, this is the GNU World Order, it is season 11, and I do believe it will be a fairly short episode this time, because I don't really have a whole lot to say. I guess I've been busy, I don't know, but one of the things that I wanted to mention was this thing called Mastodon, which you may have heard of, you may not have, so I'm going to discuss it briefly, and I'm also going to kind of talk about some of the weird perceptions of how I think the world happens to work, which I'm pretty sure is not correct. But Mastodon is this kind of, I guess we could call it, and it pains me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, I guess we could call it a Twitter killer. So Twitter, of course, back in 2000, I don't know, 9 or so, kind of became a big deal. Maybe it was before that, maybe it was after, I don't know. But anyway, somebody on Twitter came up with this account. I think it was called The Real Klaatu or something like that, maybe. And they started tweeting as if though it was me. And people apparently started following it, thinking that it was me. And it's one of those weird things where you look at what was said, and you're just thinking, wow, this is not me at all. How did people think that was me? Like, how could you think that was me? But it was weird, because, you know, you can't really tell on Twitter. I mean, like, it's 140 characters or something, and, you know, something pithy sounds kind of something like, yeah, maybe some so-and-so would say that. So it was a little bit weird, and in order to sort of reclaim my identity from that very, very, very minor case of identity theft, like tiny, teeny, tiny, sort of semi-flattering identity theft, I figured, okay, I'd better open up an account. So I opened up NotKlaatu at Twitter, or on Twitter, and pretty much didn't do anything with that account until recently, and about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, I was sort of thinking that I needed to probably stay in touch with people, and a lot of the people that I'd been talking to, especially having moved to New Zealand, I was really kind of struggling to keep in touch with people who I guess you could say I had taken for granted in the States, because, you know, even if you ignored them for half of a year, you would end up running into them 5 times a year at all the different Linux conferences. And that was just my reality, and I really took it for granted. I figured, well, that's how it is to be an adult. You ignore people, and you see them at a conference, and that works pretty well. And frankly, it did work pretty well. I had a lot of really good, important, significant friendships that were formed from people that I would ignore for most of the year and then congregate with during Linux conferences, and that was how it worked for me. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, because there was IRC, there were podcasts, you know, you'd maybe meet some people on a group podcast, or you'd have interactions with them online of one way or another. But after I moved to New Zealand, it really kind of became different, because there was a complete absence of personal connection. There were no conferences, you know, I was not meeting people at all in real life. And so, and then if they started migrating away from like my one or two outlets of interaction, it became problematic, because if you were dead on IRC, pretty much you were dead to me. I mean, that's just kind of, that was how it was. And I'm not saying that's a good thing or if that's right for me to have done, but that's kind of, yeah, sort of, that was my outlet. So I kind of started playing around with other ways to keep in touch with people. And I was on Google Plus for a little while, and I was on Twitter for a little while. And frankly, just none of them were very satisfying. Google Plus was okay, but it got very sort of, I don't know, you stay on there long enough, and it's just, it's weird. You start to pick up on a lot of sort of like this attitude, you know, that I guess the internet has now. I guess it's just sort of the internet, which I used to kind of joke about because I was very separate from it. You know, it was one of those things that I knew that it was a certain way, but from an outsider's perspective. But once you sign up for one of these sites, these social network sites, you know, like Google Plus or Twitter, it becomes very sort of real. You know, it's in your web browser every day when you go to check to see if you've had any interactions with someone that you actually know and care about. There's all this other stuff there, and maybe it's not stuff that you ever wanted to hear about or think about, or maybe it's an attitude that you don't really particularly appreciate, but it's there. So I really kind of became really, really sick of social media very quickly, and recently this new thing came about, and it's called Mastodon. And Mastodon itself isn't actually all that new. It is an implementation of GNU Social, which itself sprang from, I think, status.net, which sprang from Identica. That's Identica and then .ca. And I think I had been on Identica for a little while. I might not have been, I don't remember. But if I wasn't very good at it. But Mastodon kind of suddenly appeared, I guess, earlier this year, for me at least, and it was the same format as Twitter, but it was federated, so people could run their own instances of Mastodon, and people could sign up on these instances, and all the instances talked to each other. And so you had this federated and open source version of Identica or GNU Social or I guess Twitter, and it was really interesting because it didn't have the, I guess, the variety that Twitter had. And by variety, I actually kind of mean it in a semi-negative way, because for me at least, when I interact with people, I have a certain, I have an expectation, or I have a very limited tolerance for what we're going to interact over. For instance, if I was going to go to hang out with a group of people, I would not go to a location full of people who had congregated to celebrate a sporting event. I would know, like, if I were invited, or if someone told me, hey, you should go out and hang out at this place, I would know whether or not that place was of interest to me. And strangely, on the on social media, there doesn't seem to be any sense of a sense of a domain or a namespace, if you will. You know, there it's not like you go, you know how all in the classic cyberpunk novels and I imagine movies, but certainly games, they're the Matrix or the mesh or the network, whatever, you know, the net. It was always like really, really true to life, you know, in a weird way, in a hyperbolic way almost, like, hey, I'm gonna go onto the net and I'm gonna go to this bar where all the hackers hang out, you know? And you're like, that's not how the net works. There aren't places on the net that you go to. I mean, there were chat rooms, you know, and that was kind of the analogy of that. But in modern social media, it's there's really no sense of that whatsoever. I mean, there's not a sports bar that all the sports people can go to. There's not a cafe for all the I don't know, the hackers to go to. There's not a or a basement for all the hackers to go to. There's not a oh, was that a stereotype? There's not a library for all the literate people to go to. You, there there's it's just all one big space, and everyone gets into it and start shouting about stuff, and they shout and they get really annoyed because no one seems to be listening to them, you know? And it's just it's very, very overwhelming and not of interest to me whatsoever. And I found that Mastodon was at least in a way it gave the opportunity to create domains, literally and figuratively. The literal meaning, you can buy a domain name and fire up a Mastodon instance on it, and possibly give you some notion of what that domain or that instance sort of concentrates on or wants to attract. So, for instance, a big sort of classic example, not a classic, a shining example of this would be a domain called mastodon.art. Now, what do you think mastodon.art might attract? Artists, people who do art, tend, it seems, to go to mastodon.art and they sign up for an account and they post artwork on it. And that's cool. And why does that matter? It's federated. Well, the cool thing about being federated is that you have both a local and a non-local space to play in. So if your interest is mainly for the other people on the instance, then you can just look at your local timeline or feed or whatever you want to call it, and you can see all your little compatriots and what they are doing locally, and that's your world, that's your bubble, and it's a self it's a bubble that you've consciously chosen to live in, and that's fine. And then if you want to see what's going on out in the federated space, you can look at the federated timeline and see what everyone on all the instances that are connected to your instance are doing. And maybe that's too much sometimes. Maybe you don't want that, so you scale it back down. Or you can just look at the people that you've chosen to follow. You know, you've got so much flexibility. And compared, like I say, on Twitter, I had gotten to the point where I was muting so many people in this vain attempt to, sort of carve away like probably about 1 billion people, and so that I could just focus on, maybe 100 or 200. And it was just a losing battle, obviously. I mean, that's completely the wrong way to do it. Now, eventually Twitter just kind of annoyed me so much because of its rampant double standards and the company itself, and the fact that the company isn't open source. And now that there was this Mastodon thing, so it was the obvious alternative. It was like the open source alternative. I just kind of thought, well, why bother with one if the other exists? So I dropped the Twitter account. I got rid of that, deleted it, and just started just existing on Mastodon. So I'm saying all of this to say that if you're on Mastodon, feel free to look for and remote follow or follow if you're on the same instance, Klaatu. Now, Mastodon URLs and finding users on Mastodon is a little bit different than finding on Twitter, because Twitter, again, is its own singular thing. So everyone is on Twitter, and that's the only. They're the only them on Twitter, and that's it. So on Mastodon, if you want to, I mean, there's not really a name space like there is on Twitter, and like username space. It's a little bit different. So on Mastodon, you can find someone by going to their instance URL. So mine, in for now, is mastodon.xyz, and then slash, and then the at symbol. And then their username, which in my case is Klaatu. So if you go to https://mastodon.xyz/@Klaatu, that will take you to my little user page on mastodon.xyz, which is not an instance that I run, it's just one that I randomly chose from a list. And you will see, I guess, posts or whatever they're called, and toots is what they're called. And you can do a f you, if you're on Mastodon, there'll be a button there to remote follow me. Or if you're on mastodon.xyz, you can just follow me because you're on the same instance. And I will follow you back, and then that way, if you want to speak to me over Mastodon, you will be able to. And if I want to speak to you over Mastodon, I will be able to. I'm not saying this is the only way to reach me by any means. I'm simply saying that Hey, there's this cool new thing, it's open source, and if you haven't tried it, you may want to. Now, the interesting thing is that my friend Cobra 2, who I know from several different vectors, I've met him in real life, we've hung out, he's a great guy. He's really, really cool guy. I mean, he does a lot of stuff for the community. He's currently running UnixPorn.pro, so if you've got Unix screenshots that you want to post, go to UnixPorn.pro. It's all him. It's really a great little site. And he is also on Mastodon. And he was t talking about something because I had done something silly and he was like ribbing me for it. And it kind of got me thinking because he called Mastodon a social media. And it kind of hit me that Mastodon, yeah, I guess it is social media. But for some reason, for whatever reason, it doesn't really feel like social media to me. It doesn't feel like a social network to me. It feels more like, I guess the closest thing for me is it feels like IRC, although it doesn't really feel like IRC. But in my own head, that's how I categorize it. And maybe that's just because a lot of people on Mastodon are pretty tech savvy. Like if you found Mastodon, then you're probably someone who puts technology pretty high on your list of importance. Not to say that if you've that everyone on Mastodon is like, oh, open source is the best and I can only use it and blah blah blah. I'm just saying that a lot of I'm finding a lot of users are fairly tech savvy on Mastodon. Which is nice. I mean that's one of the things I was trying to say earlier is that when I go to hang out with people, I want to make sure I want to know that there's some reason that we would all be in the same room together. So if there's an emphasis on technology and general geek culture, then that is appealing to me, whereas something far more widespread and generic is less appealing to me. So to me, Mastodon isn't a generic thing that I call, in my mind, social media or social network. I don't think of it that way. I just think of it as I guess maybe a message board. Maybe it almost feels like a message board to me in a weird way. I don't know. For whatever reason, though, I did not identify it as a social network because it's not as annoying as any social network that I have tried. And luckily, there have only been two or three social networks that I have bothered trying. And so far, I will say that Mastodon is the least annoying of those. So, if you want to keep in touch with people and you don't want to be on Twitter or Google or, gosh forbid, Facebook, then yeah, try Mastodon. It's really kind of a fun project. It's got a fair amount of traction, I think. And it's an open source project that's worth kind of looking into. And it's funny because I've met people who really get invested inseparably from to in these products that they own no piece of. And the weird thing about closed source software is that when you get involved with it, should you flirt with it at all, you do start to feel ownership over it. It's misplaced and it's incorrect, but you feel ownership over it. And there's this weird sort of gray area, kind of a Schrodinger cat state, I think, where you feel so strongly that you own a piece, your little piece of this closed source thing, that for all intents and purposes, you do own it until it goes away. So for Twitter, for instance, people get really involved in Twitter, and they feel like they're carving out a place for themselves on Twitter, and they talk to people, and they represent their ideas, and they promote their ideas, and they do all these things on Twitter, and they really feel like they have some say in the direction and the governance of Twitter. And it's just not the case, Like it just doesn't have to be that way. People can boycott Twitter. People can stop. Well, they're not going to stop using Twitter. That's the thing, right? So they can stomp their feet, they can shout, they can at Twitter all they want. It doesn't matter. Twitter is still its own thing. They still own Twitter. They own the Twitter space. They don't have to do anything that anyone yells about. It just doesn't matter. Now, there's an argument that if everyone stopped using Twitter, then Twitter would probably, I guess, would probably bend. I was gonna say would probably have to bend, but they don't have to bend. They would probably bend. That there's an argument there that they would probably start to change if everyone started actually walking away from their platform. They wouldn't have to, understand? They could just close their doors and stop being a website. It's completely and totally possible. But people get invested in it, and they believe that they have ownership of it, and they believe that because it's this quote-unquote shared space, and of course, the word share is a funky one, right? Because you can share a space, and you can share a space. Now, one just means that you happen to be in the same space as someone else, and the other means that you have ownership of it. So when people say, "Oh, this is a shared resource, this is a shared space, whatever," they keep thinking, "Oh, well, we all own this, right?" When in fact, no, nobody owns this stuff. Well, someone does, but you don't. We don't own this. So it's really interesting to see people interpret sort of the almost a common law sense of ownership over some web resource when we know as people who do have shared ownership of something, actual shared ownership of something, that they don't have what they think they have. But what is really puzzling about that, I think, is the same thing that's puzzling about, people who won't walk away from closed source software, like normal software, not web stuff. It's just they just can't do it. They cannot bring themselves to do it. And I see it all the time. I've seen it on forums, on all kinds of closed source applications in the creative space. People will go onto the forums of the company in question, and they will threaten, and they will say, "I'm boycotting you. I'm never going to buy your product again. I'm not going to go to your monthly subscription service. I can't believe you're discontinuing this version of your software. I'm switching to something else." And I mean, maybe one or two of them do, but basically, it really is just a reaction. It's the reaction to something. And it's completely empty. And that's what it is for closed source websites as well. Because you can show people this open source alternative, and it's that final, it's the resolution, it's the thing that actually takes action that people just can't seem to get. They just can't muster the part that requires them to actually make good on their threats. And it's just the way of the world, I guess. So if you're in a space where you feel maybe Twitter, maybe Google Plus, maybe Facebook isn't really working out for you so well, I encourage you to look at Mastodon as an alternative. Maybe all your friends aren't there. Maybe you'll make new ones. Maybe you'll attract your friends over. It's worth a shot. It's worth looking at. So check it out, Mastodon. Go to mastodon dot something and find an instance to sign up to. Sign up and let me know you're there, and I'll start saying things that you may possibly see. It's not a very effective way of communication, this whole Twitter model, where you like say stuff and then it just kind of goes off somewhere into the ether. But Mastodon kind of actually deals with that because you have kind of an inbox on the left hand side. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. I'm getting off topic. Point being, try this thing. Let me know if you're on it. I'll follow you, and then we'll both be on it at the same time. And that's pretty much all I can guarantee. Thanks for listening to this show. This show is now over. Short and sweet. Remember, that's what we're doing now. You can reach me at https dot colon colon slash slash mastodon dot xyz slash at clatu, or you can email me at clatu at member dot fsf dot org, or you can find me on IRC. I'm usually in the channel Ogcast Planet. I'm also in the channel Slacker Media. I'm also in the channel Slacks, and those are the usual hangouts, and I am not clatu on there. So thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next week. Thank you.